Catherine Landfer is sitting in for John Hockenberry, who's away today. And I'm passing the baton to you, Catherine.
Well, listen, Adora, they've called it the Swedish solution.
Complete nationalization of the banks.
Nationalization.
The nationalization, or whatever it is that we're doing to the banking system.
Full nationalization.
Nationalization.
Would we have ever thought we would see the day, would we even be using that terminology, nationalization of the bank?
You know, in the early 1990s, Sweden handled its banking crisis by nationalizing their banks. And now economists here are taking a second look at whether that could work for us. For more on that, we're going to turn now to Justin Fox. He is a business and economics columnist for Time magazine, and he is in Davos, Switzerland right now as leaders are arriving for the World Economic Forum. And he is definitely familiar with how Sweden handled their banking crisis in the 1990s. Hey, Justin, glad you could tear yourself away from the slopes.
Well, actually, that was yesterday, Catherine. Today it's all work.
Oh, yes. I feel bad for you.
I know, the violin. We've pulled it out.
Okay,
exactly.
Now, succinctly, what exactly did Sweden do in the 1990s that we are all looking at so fiercely?
Yeah, I'm actually a little scared about being referred to as an expert on the Swedish banking bailout. My expertise mainly stems from being at Davos a year ago and realizing that I was sitting on the sofa and realizing that the guy across from me was Carl Bildt, who was a famous Swedish politician, and you can sort of look up
everybody's
bios.
He was the former
bios.
Prime Minister, right.
He was, former Prime Minister. You can look up people's bios really quickly on your laptop around Davos here, and I looked it up because I'd heard about Sweden and a financial crisis in the early 90s, and I looked it up, and it was clear from his bio that he was finance minister in the early 90s. So I went and interrupted him and said, you know, Mr. Bildt, tell me about bank bailouts. And so he told me a little bit, but he basically said, you know, he was just the politician and the actual expertise was a little farther down. It's actually the guy who's currently the governor of the Central Bank of Sweden who, according to Bildt, did the nitty-gritty. Basically, what Sweden, they didn't nationalize the entire banking system. They nationalized a couple of banks, and they forced, what they really did in a big way was force banks to write down all their bad loans and then sort of move forward from there. But some banks ended up not taking any government money at all because they wanted to avoid the terms that the government were pushing on them. What it really was this attempt to sort of reboot the banking system, make clear which banks were okay, which banks had to be taken over by the government, and basically just write asset values down as low as possible so you could start over.
Now, rebooting worked for them. They, in effect, put together, you know, banks with the so-called bad assets. But we are a larger economy, and we're facing a global recession. So what part of that rebooting or solution is going to work for us?
Well, I mean, they got the idea from the U.S. in 1933, basically that idea that you need some sort of restart. And that's what always happened back in the 1800s. You'd have financial crises and everything would completely collapse and the economy wouldn't do anything for a couple of years. And then finally, after a while, new people would come along with money and restart the banking system. What in the 20th century, the idea is maybe have government replicate that and it be more orderly and it not be quite as painful. But I don't see any reason why that in particular can only, you know, only applies to a small economy or a big economy or whatever else.
Well, but I'm thinking that there's just a lot more levers at work here than when you have
true.
The global recession and when you have an American economy that has that reaches into so many different parts of the world. Talk for just a minute about what the roadblocks are to this kind of solution working in this country.
Roadblock is that Sweden had about, I don't know, 20 or 30 banks, and we have thousands and thousands of them, and we have lots of these other organizations that do financial intermediary work that aren't banks. Some of them, like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, have become banks. Some of them, like Lehman Brothers, have shut down. But I had this conversation with Hank Paulson about a month and a half ago, and that was his reasoning, that we haven't done exactly what Sweden did because it's just things are much more complicated here, and the government can't just suddenly decide, okay, these are the banks that survive, these are the banks that die, these are the ones who get some money but not a lot. And so instead of really making these calls, what we got in November was sort of this bailout for almost everybody. I mean, there's a few smaller banks that were deemed too troubled to get any money out of the TARP fund.
But Justin, isn't that the swinging to the absolute other end of the pendulum? Aren't there two themes here that we should be looking at that Sweden was successful in? One, they held the banks accountable. the banks,
yep,
and the shareholders. Secondarily, they outlined a fundamental structure on how to move those banks that were suffering to good health. And in fact, it cost them half what they estimated to make this all happen.
No, it's all true. Although one thing about the cost that's kind of funny is I was writing about this Swedish stuff without really knowing that much about it last spring. At one point,
Are you making an admission on the takeaway? Are we getting an exclusive, Justin?
Well, I was doing it on my blog, not in the pages of the magazine, because there was no way I could persuade my editors last spring to write about Swedish bank bailouts. And I got in this back and forth with Paul Krugman on his blog, where he sort of said, you know, Justin's writing all about the Swedish bank stuff, and that's interesting, but it cost them the equivalent of $850 billion in the U.S., I mean, that percentage of their GDP. And last spring, that seemed like just this insanely huge number. And now it doesn't anymore.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, clearly, the issue is what ended up happening in November, and I think it was partly because we had a lame duck administration. It was partly, I think, there were some ideological issues within the Paulson Treasury that people were just uncomfortable with the word nationalization. And I just think maybe they thought it was too early in the process, because I will say Sweden didn't do this whole beautiful bank bailout thing until it had been in a much deeper recession than the U.S. is in for a couple of years already. It was much farther along in the process, and it was a complete mess. And I'm sure in 1993 and 1994, people in Sweden were not applauding the bailout. It just ended up working out well. From a perspective of 15 years later, it looks great. At the time, it looked horrible.
All right, Justin, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you for joining us. That's Justin Fox. Okay, Justin Fox. He is a business and economics columnist for Time Magazine. He joined us from Davos, Switzerland.
Well, there's an successful example of nationalizing the banking system. Well, what do you think here in the U.S. the government should take over? Or is it all just simply a real bad idea?
Hello, my name is Alan, and I'm calling from Winchendon. The government should stay out of the private sector, whether it's businesses or entrepreneurship. I do not want to see our country become a socialist state.
Do you think, though, the government could do a better job at anything in the private sector? Charles writes an email and he says, I would recommend that the government take over Congress. That way things will get done! ! Wait, they already have taken it over. Oh, well, never mind. Rather dramatic, but we appreciate your thoughts. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein says we should nationalize the airline. She apparently likes Swiss Air. So what do you think? Or what does the government do now that should go back to the private sector? Like the DMV, perhaps? That would be my vote. I'd give that lots of votes, actually. Tell us what you think. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. And here's a thought on a takeaway.
The last time a president inherited an economy like this, what are they saying? It was back in FDR. And the last time they passed a stimulus like this was never. Nobody's ever done this before.
Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection. I'm Adora Udoji. Catherine Lamper is in for John Hockenberry. Thank you. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.